I'm your host, Chris James, and we have a pretty good show lined up for you this week, folks. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go into just one division this week. Remember last week I gave you the overview, the overall grade for each team, kind of gave you the reason why I made that pick. So this is going to be a quick show tonight. What I'm going to do is just go over the NFC South. I'm going to go over each player that was selected and also give you some guys who can make the roster who are undrafted free agents. So we're going to jump right into it. And remember, if you want to participate in the show, that number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. The Atlanta Falcons alphabetically are the first up for the NFC South. And Atlanta had a few picks in this particular draft. They had seven. And they had to get the thing that they haven't had for quite a while on the roster. What that is a pass rusher. And they did that with the first selection. The eighth overall, they got Vic Beasley out of Clemson. Outside linebacker, if you want to call him, defensive end, whatever. It's much like Von Miller was a few years ago. The guy can get around the edge, and he can get to the quarterback. So I gave him as an individual pick an A grade. Reason being, Atlanta held firm, and instead of making a decision to try to move up, they held firm and were able to get a player that they coveted. And he can really wreak havoc in a division that now has the Jameis Winstons, Cam Newtons, and Drew Breeses of the world. The next selection for Atlanta was in the second round, 42nd overall pick, Jalen Collins, cornerback out of LSU. I gave it a C grade. A couple of reasons. I gave Jalen Collins a fifth-round grade because of his incomplete game. Physically, he's a specimen at 6'1" and 1/2", about 205 pounds, long press corner, strong, decent ball skills. Problem he has, very tight hips. The footwork is subpar at this point. He likes to chase because he allows himself to get beaten, knowing that he's fast enough running in that 4.35 range, fast enough to recover against the majority of players he's going to face. So I gave it a C grade because it was a second-round pick. And also, they do have some corners on the roster that I think they were fine with. I think this wasn't the place for them to go with guys like Nate Orchard and company on the board to load up with pass rushers, in my opinion, overpicking a corner like Jalen Collins. So gave that a C grade. Next pick was in the third round, 73rd overall pick. They went with Tevin Coleman, running back out of Indiana. Gave it a C+. I understood what they were trying to do here. Coleman has gotten a lot of press. There was even talk of him going in the late first round. I didn't rank Coleman that highly. I think he was a sixth-round guy in my estimation. He is a one-cut runner who has solid speed when he gets to the edge. The thing about it, he's not sudden. Doesn't have that quickness that you expect or explosiveness that you would expect from a guy going fairly early for a running back. But I understood what they were trying to do. They were trying to replace the production, or lack thereof, of Steven Jackson, who was kind of at the end of his career. I mean, he had a lot of miles put. So getting Coleman to go along with guys like Devonta Freeman, who are already in the backfield, it could spell well for them. So that's why I gave him the C+ on the grade. I didn't have the player ranked here, but I understood the theory behind what they were trying to do. Fourth round, 107th overall pick, Justin Hardy, wide receiver out of East Carolina. Gave it a B+. I love the addition of Justin Hardy to this roster. With Julio Jones being the explosive guy he is on the outside playing that X receiver, Roddy White being a functional Z receiver at this point, and having a guy like Harry Douglas, who they lost to free agency, working in the slot, they were a very effective offense. Justin Hardy was one of my steals of this draft. Had him going in likely the third round, so to get him in the fourth was great. But he also will work well in this system. Great route runner, excellent hands, and understands how to play in space. Not the most – we don't need that. What they need from him is a quality guy to work the middle area of the field, get open, and make catches. Next up, fifth round, 137th overall pick for the Atlanta Falcons, Grady Jarrett out of Clemson. Going really Clemson hard here for these Atlanta Falcons this year. And they got a guy who's a great addition. I give it a B grade for this selection. You know, he's an active player on the front, and they may put him at nose tackle. I think that's actually their outlook for him, a guy who's a little undersized for that nose tackle position. But it's all about how you engage and keep the interior linebackers clean he's able to do so, and I think that it will work very well for this Atlanta Falcons front. Bring in Dan Quinn if you have a guy like this who's versatile enough to play along that defensive front. Seventh round, 225th overall pick, Jake Rogers, offensive tackle out of Eastern Washington, an Eastern Washington team that really has come into their own. Remember, they beat Oregon State a few years ago. They had the likes of Tevin McDonald and some other players who were looked at by NFL teams playing on that red turf up there in Washington. They have been in the playoffs the last few years, made championship runs, and this young man has kept the quarterback up there clean, did a good job on the offensive line. And that's one of the things Atlanta needed, was more depth on the O-line because of the injuries. Great, because he does have a solid skill set. Getting him in the seventh round, winning acumen, he does know how to pass block pretty well, so that should be helpful for Matt Ryan. I think overall this will be a helpful fill addition slash spot starter in the future for this Atlanta Falcons roster. And then sticking in the seventh round, overall pick, Akeem King, cornerback out of San Jose State, gave it a C+. I understood what they were trying to do here. They get another long, physical cornerback with speed, as he ran in the 4.4 range, 4.41, I believe. But he does have below-average ball skills, doesn't track the ball as well as some of the other corners that are in this draft class. I understand what Atlanta's trying to do here with the addition of these two corners. They're trying to get physical when they play guys like Vincent Jackson or Mike Evans, the Marcus Colstons of the world, and Kelvin Benjamin, and now even Devin Funchess, who's been added to Carolina. So you see that they're trying to really address that and stay relevant in that secondary. Dan Quinn coming over from Seattle, you know that he likes that long press corner, big physical guys who can really beat up the opposition so they can't function as well in the fourth quarter. And here's two undrafted free agents for the Atlanta Falcons who could get the job done and make the roster. A guy who is not that big physical corner, but he fits the slot mold, and that's Kevin White out of TCU, one of the cleaner cornerback prospects in this class. He didn't have the physical tools that some of the other guys had, running in the slower 4.45, 4.6 range. Again, I need you to play slot corner, which to me, slot corners have better footwork and hips than guys playing the boundary or especially the field, because they don't have a sideline to protect them so that they can redirect just to one side. They have to have functional skills to be able to turn either way and react so that they can shut down a guy who's even closer to the quarterback, making an easier pass. And another guy who could make the roster is Eric LaFeld out of Cincinnati, the offensive tackle. I had him getting drafted probably in that fifth round range, and he slipped through the cracks. Remember, there's only 250 to 260 guys drafted per year, and this year 256 went. He happened not to be one of them, but he's the type of guy who, if he doesn't make this roster, could make the roster on another squad. They do need depth on that O-line, and he provides some depth for them. So overall, as I said last week, I gave the Atlanta Falcons a quality grade in this draft. I actually gave them a B. I thought they did a good job addressing some of their needs. While I didn't agree with all of the players they selected, they seem to have a clear path of what they were trying to do, filling out depth on the O-line, getting pass rushing threats, and also getting physical at the cornerback position, as well as addressing the running back position and getting a big body guy there. Now, the Carolina Panthers are up next, and Carolina didn't have many picks, only 5 selections in this draft once it was all said and done. Their 25th overall pick, the first round pick, was Shaq Thompson, outside linebacker out of Washington, gave it a B+ grade. You know, the need for this pick wasn't there, as they already had guys like A.J. Klein, Thomas Davis, and obviously Luke Kuechly playing the middle. So why did they draft him? The value was there. You know, I had him as a top 10 guy. He was a first round guy. And when a guy is rated that highly on your board, probably 7, 8, 9, even as low as much as 13 where he is, and he falls to 25, you have to snag him. They did so. Getting good players around Luke Kuechly and on that defense will keep it rejuvenated for years to come. And his versatility is top notch. Second round pick, 41st overall, Devin Funchess, wide receiver out of Michigan, gave it a B grade. You know, Funchess is not a great functional receiver. He's not a guy who runs great routes or does any of that. What he does do is he attacks the ball, and he's a hard guard because of the way that he is built. He's a former tight end who moved to receiver almost exclusively, and I think he will work well in the slot for Carolina as he's able to cause matchup nightmares for the opposition. Fourth round, 102nd overall pick, Darrell Williams, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. I give it a B-. Again, Williams I thought was more of a seventh round pick in my opinion. That's why I had him graded, but I understand fully what they're trying to do. They're to protect Cam Newton. I had guys who were offensive guards playing tackle last year. Williams, who could slide in to play guard, could be a good fit on the right side at right tackle. Wherever he plays on that line, he will give them some depth and give them a guy who can play the position pretty doggone well. Then they had 2 fifth-round picks, 169th overall. David Mayo, inside linebacker out of Texas State. I gave it a C-. And you might ask, why did I give this a C-? Is it a problem with the player? No, not at all. He's an athletic linebacker with great range who could play that middle in a 4-3 defense. My issue was with the depth here. Now the linebacker core is too deep when you had holes in other places, including the running back position, but especially on the offensive line. Even in the secondary at corner, you had some issues. And the receiving core, which was full and stockpiled with talent. You know, bringing in Ted Ginn is helpful from an explosive nature, but you don't have guys who are consistent pass catchers. They needed more of that. So getting David Mayo to me didn't make much sense at all, and that's why I gave it a C-. It was more of an indictment on the team's functional duty here than the actual player skill set. And then the fifth round as well, 174th overall pick, Cameron Artis Payne. Running back out of Auburn. I'm high on this guy. I think that he has great footwork, quality vision. It's not hot, top-notch, but I think he has quality enough vision where he can find the hole, bounce into it, and get the job done. Remember, he was the starter in the spring 2 years ago when he was battling Trey Mason, and the issue was an injury, and Trey Mason got his job back as a starter in his junior season, and we saw what happened. Heisman Trophy candidate, drafted the next year. Was the starter for St. Louis at the end of last year. So Cameron Artis Payne definitely has some quality some quality talent that could really be useful for this team that actually lost D'Angelo Williams. And we know how much they like to run the ball in Carolina. So I gave that a C grade. I still think more than getting running back depth, they should have attacked the offensive line because bringing in Jonathan Martin and Michael Orr wasn't as big of a deal to me as it might be to some. So here's some guys who could possibly make the roster from the undrafted free agent pool. Dean Marlowe, safety out of James Madison. One of the things I like about him is that he does attack the ball. I like a safety that will try to get interceptions more than try to hit someone or bat the ball down. He wants to go after the ball and get it. Now, that probably cost him in this draft, and people said we can't bring him in as a drafted player and a starter because he takes too many chances, and he's that type of guy who may give up the big play. But you bring him into camp, much like you did with Robert Lester last year, and look what can happen. He can possibly be a starter for your squad because he does have that physical ability. Let's see if he's able to make the roster. Damari Bird out of South Carolina. Bird is a fast receiver. We're looking at a guy who, even though he might not run in the 4.3s on the track, on the field he is a burner. With the pads on, the guy gets passion. He gets open. Not a great route runner, not the best hand catcher, but he does pursue the ball pretty well. And that's probably why he went undrafted. But on a team that does need help at the receiver position, yes, they're stockpiled with talent. In some manners, they still don't have that level of explosiveness outside of maybe Ted Ginn on a team. Even Philly Brown is not the most explosive receiver, but he is probably the explosive guy on this particular roster. Bird would be a welcomed addition if he's able to make the roster. And then the last guy is Gary Peters, cornerback out of Clemson. I like the kid. I think that he was very active. He played himself into the opportunity to be drafted, in my opinion. Again, only 250 to 260 players are drafted per year, and he was not one of them. But even if he does not make this roster, which in my opinion does need help at corner, he can probably come through and do the work to make another team's roster. New Orleans Saints are up next. As we're halfway through the division. The Saints had 9 selections in this draft. They've been pretty short on picks over the last few years because of some dealings. But this year they made some moves to try to get up there. Having 5 picks in the first, 78 picks is huge to help out this roster that really was depleted from a former Super Bowl champion. So first round they had 2 picks. The first was the 13th overall pick, Andres Pete, offensive tackle out of Stanford. I give it an A grade. Main reason is he was my number one tackle on the board. One of the top linemen, in my opinion, and he went after guys like Eric Flowers. He went after Ryan Scherff, who went number 5 overall. The Saints knew what they needed. They needed to protect Drew Brees, and whether he plays left guard, factoring in for the departed Ben Grubbs, or whether he moves to right tackle, which I expect, and has Zach Strief move out of that position, he's a starter from day one. And he's apparently been impressive in camp so far. Sticking in the first round, 31st overall pick, we have Stephon Anthony, inside linebacker out of Clemson. A lot of Clemson guys being drafted in this NFC South. I was a fan of the pick because I watched him play, and he was probably, behind Vic Beasley obviously, the most impressive defensive player on that roster last season for a Clemson defense that did a great job. I think fitting into the 3-4 scheme, playing the active middle linebacker role and allowing a guy like either David Hawthorne or Darnell Ellaby to play more of the thumper role, it will be very, very effective for this team that had Curtis Lofton formerly playing that, and it just wasn't Lofton's thing. So I expect to see Stephon Anthony to be a starter on day one. I gave it a B-plus grade. I thought there was some other way the Saints could go, but at least they went with a guy who is a quality fit for the roster. Second round, 44th overall pick. Ole Kakaha out of Washington, outside linebacker. He's going to be the edge rusher type guy. I gave it a B-minus grade. I thought that there was other guys like Nate Orchard they could have gone with, but, you know, he will be very effective. I think he can step in and be in the rotation very soon. To me, he's a stiff athlete. He's not that type of guy who's going to bend to get around the edge, but he does get in the backfield with strength, power, and he hits at the point of attack. Third round, 75th overall pick, Garrett Grayson, quarterback out of Colorado State. I gave it a C grade. I understand why Sean Payton picked him. Sean Payton loves quarterbacks to get the ball out of their hand quickly that can throw accurately to spots. My issue with Garrett Grayson is I don't think that he has that pocket awareness and presence that warrants being picked in the third round, especially when you already have a guy who, in my opinion, has 3 to 4 good years of football, not period left in his career, but good football left in his career as long as they block for him. So I gave it a C grade. I understand what Sean Payton was doing, but I just don't agree with it. Third round, 78th overall pick, P.J. Williams, cornerback/safety out of Florida State. Gave it a B grade. It mainly had to do with the fact that P.J. Williams, from a physical standpoint, could have gone the late first round, early second round. You know, he had the issues with the DUI, some other off-the-field issues, but it's a game to figure out whether or not these guys are going to be successful on the next level. You have to kind of gauge whether or not your culture as a team will be able to ingratiate this guy in and get him working towards being a helpful, contributing teammate. I think that P.J. Williams does fit, at least from a scheming standpoint, with what New Orleans wants to do. Physical at the point of contact if you're playing corner, able to ride with the guy and play up front. And even if they move him to safety and spot role, like they did with Malcolm Jenkins, moving him to safety full-time, he could be helpful there. I think he's more safety than corner, in my opinion, anyway, if he wants to have longevity in his career. Fifth round, 148th overall pick, Davis Toll, outside linebacker out of Chattanooga. Give it a B-. You know, he gets up the field. He might not be the most explosive guy, but Toll is productive, 4-year starter out of Chattanooga. I like, remember, bring a guy like Junior Gallette out of Stillman, who to me wasn't the most athletic guy, but the motor kept running. I think Davis Toll he's not the same athletic ability as Junior Gallette. But then again, to me, Junior Gallette didn't have that athletic ability the first year I saw him out of Stillman. It seemed like he was just all over the place, more than a focused athlete. He's worked well with what Rob Ryan wants to do on defense. Sticking in the fifth round, there's a couple of picks here for the Saints. Tyler Davidson, the 154th overall pick, defensive tackle out of Fresno State, gave it a B. I like what he has to offer playing the five technique. People are going to say, oh, he's too short and this and that. I understand the prototyping. You know, you usually have a certain outlook that you want. I understand that, folks. But that does not dictate whether or not you can be successful. I've also heard that he can't play in odd fronts because of that, because of where he had to be positioned against the offensive line. I don't agree with that either. Just because he's a slimmer build from some of the other nose tackles and he's not as long as some of the five techniques that and four techniques that exist, I can't co-sign to that because I've watched the kid be active and be able to get in the backfield. He's not the best pass rusher or penetration guy, but he is an active player, and I think he works well with what the Saints are looking to do. Damian Swan is the last fifth-round selection, 167th overall, cornerback out of Georgia. I gave it a B+. I'm a huge fan of Damian Swan, even though Damian Swan does not get up. He's not the fastest guy. All he is a cornerback with great footwork, great hips, able to do the job, mirror very well, and attacks the ball. He's apparently had the best camp of any of the corners that are in camp. So they got a win there getting him in the fifth round. And then their last pick, seventh round, 230th overall pick, Marcus Murphy, running back out of Missouri. I gave this one a C grade. Should be helpful on third down and even in the return game, but I'll be honest, you don't really need him. You had C.J. Spiller on the roster already. I know he's going to be used for some other duties, but you don't need this guy to fill the Darren Sproles role because Darren Sproles' role, he can't fill. He's not that level caliber of football player. So I gave it a C. I understand what the Saints thought they had, having that seventh-round pick, but I would have loved it if the Saints would have addressed some other needs. To me, personal level, I would have rather the Saints have gone with another offensive lineman, really protecting, getting a guy who plays more on the interior for this team, who can get down and dirty and really do the job. That would have been good for me, which is why some of the guys I'm going to recommend could make the roster. R.J. Harris, wide receiver out of New Hampshire, production, that's number one. And also just looking at how he functions, this kid could really make the roster as an undrafted wide receiver because the Saints have wide receivers that just aren't getting it. It's not connecting for them. The mental on a guy like Nick Toon is not connecting. Brandon Coleman, I thought he would be further along. It's not connecting. This kid is apparently tearing it up. Caleb Ulis out of Mississippi State, defensive tackle. He has the opportunity to make it, even though they're pretty stockpiled at the D-tackle, D-line position. He could be a practice squatter that hangs around. So watch out for him. On the offensive side, offensive lineman, O-tackle, Sean Hickey out of Syracuse could definitely be helpful, swing tackle type guy. We could see what happens. And then a guy who could have been drafted in the fifth round, Bobby Richardson, that five technique type player out of Indiana. Watch out for a guy like him. He might sneak in and have a roster spot. The Saints did pick up a lot of guys to compete for that D-line position where they had some issues last season. And then last but not least, if you're not aware, folks, I broadcast out of and live in beautiful Tampa, Florida. My complaint level about the weather here is low, and the main complaint is, oh my goodness, I have to go inside because it's 92 degrees. That's it. When people complain about the weather in Tampa, I just tell them to please shut the heck up. As far as the draft picks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had seven this year. And they had the number one overall pick, and they went with the right guy in the right direction. Jameis Winston, quarterback out of Florida State, gave it an A grade. You know, this was the only one that they could select first overall, and they got it right. I think he will do great things from a football standpoint for the city of Tampa. Second round, 34th overall pick, Donovan Smith, offensive tackle out of Penn State, gave it a B. I think that Smith could be the left tackle they've been looking for. Had him rated down lower than this, but I understood why they went there. He fits what Lovie Smith wants as far as a character guy, and he does have the talent to be here. I figured he'd be more of a fourth to fifth round pick, but he had draftable talent. Third round, second round, sorry, stick in the second round. They traded up 61st overall and got Ali Marpet, former center. He's probably going to play guard in the NFL, from Hobart, Division III Hobart. Gave him a B. Main reason is because they moved up and they went and got a guy who should play well on the interior for the Bucks. Very athletic. The thing is, he's more mauler than he is technician, and that might cause him to miss out on some blocks, might cause him to not set as well as some other guys. So people think he might be overdrafted, and that could be. But the big thing I love that they're doing here is they're bringing in guys that they have confidence in. That's huge. And going up to get him and make sure that he doesn't go to anyone else, I give credit to teams when they do that. You know what you want. You go out and get it in the world because no one's just going to give it to you. Fourth round, 124th overall pick, Quan Alexander, outside linebacker out of LSU. People thought that I was just being biased and whatnot when I said Quan Alexander was one of the best outside linebackers, not rush ends, but best 4-3 outside linebackers in this class. I stick to it. He goes in the fourth round here. I gave it a B-minus grade. I didn't think they needed this guy, but at the same point in time, I think he fits very well at either the Sam or Will side, wherever they want to play him. He's not as big as most of the Sam backers in the league, but he does have the ability to face up, engage, and make quality tackles, even though he's only about 225 pounds. Remember, Levante David, people say was too small when he got drafted at 217. So say whatever you want. If you can play football, I don't care how big you are. Just get the job done. This kid gets the job done, and the Bucks did a good job getting a guy who fits their scheme. Fifth round, 162nd overall pick, Kenny Bell, wide receiver out of Nebraska. Give it a C+. I didn't think Bell was really a draftable player. Thought he was a seventh round undrafted free agent guy, but I understand what they're doing here. Bell has speed, and he attacks the ball very well. He could play in the slot for them. That's something they've been looking for. Lewis Murphy did the job pretty well last year, but that's not really what he is. Lewis Murphy is more of a Z receiver who doesn't have the same skill that a lot of the C receivers who start in this league have. To me, this guy is a slot receiver or a number four option receiver playing on the interior. I think that he could really be beneficial to this Tampa Bay roster and play kind of like division rival or ex-division rival Harry Douglas as far as a functional piece in their offense. Sixth round, 184th overall pick, Kalen Clay, wide receiver out of Utah. Not Dress Anderson, who I didn't rank. I didn't really give much to Clay, but look back, I gave it a C grade. I understand what they're trying to do. You know, he's a track champion coming out of high school, had some track ability, some good speed. He's not uber explosive on the field, and that's the problem. The inability to get off bump press obviously puts him where he needs to be off the line consistently, but also he just does not get as open as you would like and beating single coverage to really be impactful. So hopefully they're able to do some things with him, bring him in. He's probably going to be a slot receiver, but I just didn't think that this was an impactful move for this Buccaneer roster. I for the Bucs' sake, I hope I'm wrong. Seventh round, 231st overall pick, Joey Ausafa out of Hawaii. Running back, they're probably going to play him at fullback. I give it a C grade again. Could turn into a great fullback, but it's yet to be seen if he makes the transition. People always think, oh, well, you were a slower than normal or a plodding running back. You're immediately going to be a great fullback. It's a mindset and also vision-based to be fullback. You can't just run into the line. You just have to actually understand how to play the position and do the job fully. Jaworski Lane for the Bucks has made a decent adjustment to playing that position. Let's see if this young man is as well. And then the undrafted free agents who have the chance to make the roster, the Bucks had some good ones in my opinion. I think out of all the teams, the Bucks had the best undrafted free agent class. Ryan Dallier, who was on the Football Game Plan Radio Network, had a third-round grade by us and a lot of folks. Defensive end out of Townsend. Again, not the most technically savvy guy, but he is consistent with what he does. As he learns more and more about the position, he gets more used to it. The Bucks could got a steal for a left end who comes in and really pushes the pocket and she can chase down from behind. So I think with them lacking pass rush ability last year, he could come in and really do a job for him. And then another guy is Ronnell Hill, wide receiver out of UCF. he might actually end up being better and more useful for them. The other two guys who were drafted, I think Hill had a certain skill set that could be useful in a slot for the Buccaneers. And the last guy is Dominic Brown, back slash fullback out of Louisville. Some people see his value like a Greg Jones from Florida State years past, where he made the transition to fullback. And that's a possibility for Dominic Brown. I think that he's a good short yardage back who has quality vision. And again, that can play itself into the opportunity to be a starting fullback for this team. So those are the four teams from the NFC South, folks. Remember, if you ever want to participate in the show, call in numbers 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. That's all I have for you tonight. Next week, we're going to do another division. I'll release that later on. I'll probably be the AFC South, so I stay pretty consistent with getting the different directions taken care of. Remember, all these young men, no matter where they came from, they all were drafted into the NFL. That's a special club because only 250 to 260 guys per year get to do so. Congratulations to them. And well wishes and hopes for the young men who are undrafted free agents who are currently on a roster. Like if you can go earn your way onto an NFL 53-man roster with the upcoming 2015 season. So for the Football Game Plan Network, this is Chris James signing off. Remember, if you want to get in contact with me, you can hit me up on Twitter at CJFloor9 or even on Instagram. You can send me whatever you want to on there, and I'll respond back CJFloor9 on there as well. So for the Football Game Plan Network, Radio Network signing off, this is Chris James. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, folks.